Well, good morning and welcome to Tuesday, February the 18th, in the year of our Lord 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake up call. And yes, it is Taco Tuesday, and I have been missing my tacos on Tuesday, in case you're wondering. We've been in the midst of a Bible study in our little Methodist church, the Gillette Methodist Church, on Tuesday nights. We're finishing that up tonight. We've been studying Maxie Dunham's celebrated Workbook of Living Prayer, and I've been teaching alongside that. That's in part what's prompted this series we're doing right now on the Wake Up Call. But I've been in a taco drought. So I'm coming out after this week. Well, let's begin this Tuesday. And guys, we're halfway through the second month of the 25th year of the second millennium of our Lord Jesus Christ. So time is moving. And let's claim this day. Right? When, if you want to win the day, you got to win the morning. And this is how we win the morning, in consecration before the Lord. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Abba, Father, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Abba, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almost said the truth there. Because we belong to you, we belong to each other. And I want you to know I feel that every day as I come on here with you. I feel that I belong to you and that you belong to me as we together belong to God. Our entry today, remember, we're in the nine prayers of Jesus. We're going Jesus prayer number one, the prayer of great reversal. And our text is Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Let's begin our nine prayers with one I likely didn't think of before as the kind of prayer one might pray. I call it the prayer of great reversal. I praise you, Father. And Jesus, of course, would have said, Abba, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Abba, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. You know, there's nothing bad about being a wise and learned person until there is. The minute we think being wise and learned adds anything to our worth as a human being, is the minute we bankrupt our sense of worth as a human being. But this is not really about being wise or learned, is it? It's about pride and humility. I love how the Message version of the Bible frames today's text. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Sophisticates and know-it-alls. Sounds like pride to me. James, one of Scripture's straightest shooters, quoted from Proverbs when he said, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." That's James 4:6. And if that weren't clear enough, he added, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." That's James 4:10. Are you seeing the way the prayer of great reversal works? This prayer opens up a way reversal in our own spirits and innermost selves. It creates the opportunity for a gracious defrocking of our false selves, the sense of worth and security we have constructed for ourselves because we were afraid our true selves wouldn't measure up. Grace is never about measuring up. It's the reverse. Grace is about measuring down. God's ways are hidden from the proud and revealed to the humble. To be clear, pride and humility are not behaviors or even dispositions so much as they operate at the level of our identity. Pride is a telltale sign that a person struggles with shame at the core of their sense of self. They don't mean to be prideful. They can't help it. Shame prevents a person from valuing their own self, which means they must build an alternative sense of self they can value. Anything that comes against this alternative or false self is vehemently fended off. Pride is a way of protecting the false self. Humility comes from a deep inner sense of knowing you are loved for who you most truly are. This comes from God by the power of His Word and Holy Spirit, and through others who have known this kind of unwavering, unconditional love for themselves. The Message translation continues in Matthew 11 with these incredible words. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. "The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. That's verse 27. Jesus, through His prayer, leads us to the very foundation of prayer, which requires coming before God in simple honesty and true humility. This prayer of reversal, if given a foothold in our prayer lives, will chip away at and erode the unstable foundation of our false selves, so the true foundation of the unimaginable love of God can be planted. It's why people who have learned to stand on this unshakable foundation are not only people of prayer, they are people of power and presence. The prayer of great reversal paves the path on the journey from "I am not worthy of love" to "I am loved" to "I am love." The prayer for prayer. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Lead me into your way of praying, I want you to go over this line by line with me. I want to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I want to be at home with myself in the way you see me. To let go of the lies I have believed, and to pray with this kind of humble freedom of a child. Teach me to pray from this graced place. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts for today. What stands out to you about this prayer of great reversal? What kind of false self have you constructed as your foundation of worth and security? How have you confused your identity for your accomplishments or the lack thereof? And what would a deeper reversal in your own sense of self before God and others look like in you? These are deep questions, I know. You know, this prayer, we're going to sing in a minute. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the song and the hymn number so you can look it up, because I know you've got your hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise, right there by your side, your Bible and your hymnal. It's called Take the Name of Jesus With You, more commonly known as Precious Name. That's number 156, and we'll sing it in just a minute. But a lot to say about this text. This prayer number one. Isn't that interesting that the first prayer of Jesus is the prayer of great reversal? It's where he comes in, and in essence, he's like, all you thought you knew was wrong. You're not measuring up here. You're not trying to become a person of prayer. You're not trying to become known as a person of prayer. You're simply trying to become humble. I love that James verse, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I've been working with that text a little bit this year already. I was going over my Word of God, Holy Spirit journal just yesterday, and I came across that verse, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And I just started writing around there saying, you know, Lord, so often I humble myself so you will lift me up. In other words, I'm just trying to do it to get you to help me, to put me into a better place, a lifted up place. And I thought, I'm skipping over the heart of the verse, which is in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, which means I've got to get to that place where I see him and he sees me. You know, of course, he sees me, but half the time I'm not aware of that, and I'm kind of living in some other place outside of my awareness of the Lord's sight. I want to come into the sight of the Lord. I just want to get down on the ground. I want to get down to the humble roots of who I am. It's like the dust meeting the ground, and become aware of the presence of God. I want to humble myself. This is not to lower yourself. It's not to somehow think less of yourself. It's not self-abnegation. I've got humility wrong a lot, which is just really another form of pride. It's called false humility. Humility is just the simple embrace of your ordinary self, your true self, your real self, your naked self before God. I'm bringing nothing. I'm bringing me. That's something. But I'm checking all of my credentials at the door. I'm checking all of my qualifications, which are nothing, at the door. I'm putting it in the coat closet, and I'm not going to get it when I leave. I feel you're picking up what I'm laying down here. I love the the word Anna Gray shared with us back when she was writing on Isaiah 55. She was quoting the late Tim Keller, who said, "All that God wants from us is nothing." He says the problem is that that's the thing we don't have, because we're all trying to bring something. And I don't know, I feel like I'm getting closer to nothing. I feel like I'm getting closer to the place where I know that all I've got is nothing. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. This is the prayer for great reversal. And like I told you at the beginning, I never even thought of it as a prayer, but it's now starting to cut a groove in my inmost being. And I love how Jesus begins with praise. "I praise you, Abba." I love how you pair Abba with Lord of heaven and earth. You know, that's different than the way the Jewish prayers typically go. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu. You know, blessed are you, O God, the King of the universe. He opens that up with Abba, Abba. He knew who he was. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He didn't have to try. He just had to be himself, friends. And that's the truth about us. You don't have to try. You just had to be yourself. That's all you've got the authority to be. That's humility, rising into authority, becoming breathtaking love. All right, I'm getting carried away. We got to sing. Number 156, you ready? All four verses. "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." Last verse. "At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." Amen. Well, here's one more interesting little bit. You know, one of the very popular verses chosen for our New Year, New Word Challenge. I'm going to be writing all 3,428 of you all who submitted words soon. I'm going to be writing you with some encouragement and some guidance for what we're going to be doing with these words here in the days to come. But one of the most popular words came right out of this text, Matthew 11. I think it's verses 28, 29, and 30. We've just kind of been over you know, the preamble to that. You got to understand a text, you got to understand its context. Remember, today's text is Matthew 11, 25 and 26. Get over to 28. Here's the text. Come to me. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, it's a burden carrying around all the fake self that we manage to cobble together over our lives, all the sort of credentials and wise and learned and pretense and all the sense of the ways that we want for others to know us and to how we want them to think about us. That is nothing short of what's called slavery. And Jesus is like, come on. Love how Peterson, the Message, puts it. Are you tired? He says. Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? He says, come to me. I'll teach you how to take a real rest. Learn from me. Watch how I do it. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. He says, follow me. You'll find rest. I'll teach you. You'll find rest for your souls. That's the prayer of great reversal. That's what it leads to. So that's just a little, pro tip here for those of you who selected that text for your new word. That's research, right? That's the fourth R. All right, we got to go. It's Tuesday and the fields await. Get your seeds. I'll see you out there. And listen, I'm going to be seeing some of you in Atlanta this week. I'm getting ready to go tomorrow. Our new room gathering begins on Thursday, and I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.